Yep.
Okay, call to order. All councils present. Teresa Hill. Jason.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Motion to approve the agenda and the additional items.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Excuse me.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Number four, our public hearing.
I make a motion we open the public hearing for public comment.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Anyone wants to address the council?
Does anyone want to address the council? This is an open hearing for the assessments. Okay.
That being noted, I'll make a motion we close the public hearing.
I'll second it.
Did you have something?
No.
I was just going to ask Ian.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right.
So it's been motioned.
All in favor to close the meeting?
Aye.
Public hearing? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution for delinquent utilities.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay.
Does that ordinance require the opening the public hearing again?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
For numbers, letter C?
Yeah. I'll make a motion we open for a public hearing for the water and sewer rates.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Would anyone like to comment on
water and sewer rates?
Water and sewer rates. Let's see. Anyone who would like to address the council? No? Any of the council have anything? Comments?
I'll make a motion we close the public hearing for water and sewer rates.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make a motion that we accept the second reading of Ordinance 51.125.2-2023 for the water and sewer rates.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Unfinished business.
We need to adopt.
Your motion was on the
we have to adopt. Yeah. Yeah. Number three there.
We have to do what?
Yeah.
Oh, the adoption?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So we need a motion on the adoption?
Yes. I'll make a motion that we adopt Resolution 51.125.2. 2023 water and sewer rates.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, number five, unfinished business. A, the resolution 2023R-041, designating the parking limits in the downtown area. Jason?
Let me tee this up. For your consideration here tonight is Resolution 2023-R-041. This pertains to the recent change that you made in some of the parking regulations. Those are spelled out in sections 1 through 12 and essentially kept it very simple, very basic. Take a look at it, make sure it meets with your approval, and then if it does, we would need a motion to approve.
Are these the streets we cut out? Is that what it was?
Yes.
So the map that you see in front of you are the ones that stay in place. And then the ones that are in the green are the ones that would be opened up.
That map in our packet.
What's that?
What I saw it before.
Right here.
You have it
there.
Yep.
You need
to
copy.
Yeah. That's one. Sure. Make sure it's the right ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to read.
Yeah, I saw it earlier this week.
2023-R-041 designating parking limits in the downtown area.
I will second that.
Jason.
All in favor?
Thank you.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Go ahead and publish that in the paper.
Yeah, good idea.
We don't have to publish it in the paper, but I think it'd be a good idea to do that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, B, we should open this up to some conversation. The Police Civil Service Commission.
I would like to speak on that, and I did some research, and if you guys could just bear with me, I'll try to keep it to 3 minutes like we do our citizens, but there's a lot of misinformation out there, first of all, and I called the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, kind of tried to get some advice from them, and of course they're not going to take sides on this, because you know, either way they're not going to say you should or shouldn't have it, but I did call, talk to a person there, and looked up, okay, the statute is 419.6. And so I just want to share a little bit of the findings that I had. And like I said, if you guys will bear with me, then we can discuss afterward. But, you know, the whole idea of the Police Civil Service Commission is to get citizens involved. And it's try to get citizens that don't already have a voice, especially. You know, the council, we've all got a voice. But the Police Civil Service Commission is supposed to put it in civilian hands. To try to get rid of that issue of having an axe to grind with city council members or that kind of thing. So it is insulating in that case. One of the things I found is like the Goodhue incident. They did not have a police civil service commission. And by many of the things that I've read and people I talked to, if they had had one, they might not have had that situation where the whole police department resigned because it seems like there was an axe to grind with the city councilman there. They did not, you know, approve their pay raises, and then so the department said, see you, and, you know, and they left. And if you would have had that insulating body, that might have helped. Okay. And, of course, we have citizen involvement in EDA, the Parks Committee, everything like that. The Police Civil Service Commission, it is more of a big city thing. We are definitely one of the small ones. St. Bonifacius is about our size. They have one. St. Peter, Lake City, Worthington, Fairmont, Montevideo. I'm just listing some that are, you know, cities. And they're all bigger than us. And, of course, Minneapolis, St. Paul has them, but they are way bigger than us. As Jason's already told us, it would take a unanimous vote of the city council to get rid of it. Voters can also put it on a petition if you get 25% of your eligible voters. Petition. We can also, as a council, put it on the ballot next fall. And if we think it's that divisive, I would like to see us do that if we think it's that divisive. One of the things that was misinformation is the people on the Police Civil Service Commission do not get paid. So there is no saving for getting rid of that, but that was one of the things that I was told, is that it's going to save us money. It will not save us any money. Okay. Now, we do have, obviously, one spot to fill on the council or on the commission if we vote to keep it. Couple things that I would like to say yet is it is open, too. When the Police Civil Service Commission meetings are open, people can come. You can ask questions. You can ask to, you know, ask about candidates, all that kind of thing. From what I understand, there have not been too many visitors to the meetings, and I realize part of the issue has been the meeting times. I would like to propose that we do set some meeting times if we, you know, have it, regularly post meeting times, okay? But this is one of these things where we need to trust our citizens to do it. We have a decorated Vietnam veteran on our Police Civil Service Commission. And if we can't trust him, you know, I think we're doing it wrong. We have, another gal that is very active in city affairs that is on it. Now, we do need a third person. Maybe a city council member could be on it. I mean, you could be. But I would like to see another, citizen involved. I know we do have one candidate. And let's see if I had anything else there. Well, just that everything is open when you go to those meetings, except if it's data privacy, if you're talking about, some sort of, punishment or whatever of an officer.
Yeah, all of their meetings, virtually all of their meetings are open and subject to the open meeting law. So.
Okay.
Thanks for doing the research, Dan. Yeah.
You're welcome.
City council member can't sit on.
Cannot? Okay.
Yeah.
See, that I did not.
Because when I got elected to the council, I had to resign from.
Okay.
The group.
All right.
Because I ran it for 4 years. And we used to post the meetings and have the meetings here.
Okay.
I think we do have an applicant who is interested in it.
Right.
Jason, I thought you told us at one of the meetings that we couldn't put it on the ballot. The council couldn't put it on a ballot.
It can be.
Because we had talked about that.
In order for the council to dissolve it, it has to be unanimous, but it can be put on the ballot.
Yep.
It has to be done by petition. You have to have a certain percentage of the registered voters in the last election certify a petition to the county, and then it goes on the ballot.
But we as a council, just the five of us, cannot have
that. No, I don't think that the five of you can direct it to be on the ballot. That it would have, you could certainly start a petition,
right.
But I don't think that the five of you can say, we want it on the ballot. If the council is going to do it, it has to be a unanimous vote.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I misspoke there. It said 25% of eligible voters, so whatever.
Yeah. But essentially how that operates is someone starts a petition, they get the requisite number of signatures, okay. And then it's certified to the county. And then the county will check out the signatures, make sure that they are registered voters in the county, and determine if they've met the 25%.
Can I ask you, in your honest opinion, is this something that we really need to have? If we have the HR committee in place, they have a personnel attorney on call whenever some complaint or anything had to be investigated. That all pertains to it anyway, and there still is insulation for the council because of the HR committee in place. I mean, is this something that really needs to be in place?
From you're asking me as a city attorney, from a legal standpoint, it truly is up to you guys to make that determination. If you guys think that this has value, Mr. Woline hit it right on the head that the purpose of the commission is to act as a buffer between city council and the police department. For instance, if a councilman or mayor gets a ticket and isn't happy with that, then there is a wall between the council and the police department, and there isn't necessarily any retaliation that occurs. But you guys will have to decide if the Police Civil Service Commission is something that you guys want or something that you guys need. But primary purpose of it is to act as a buffer.
But wouldn't the HR committee itself still be the buffer, because complaints would have to go through them first before it would come to the council? Because they would still be able to address it, and then if it had to be investigated, you would still have to go through the investigation process through a personnel issue, personnel committee or whatever, the attorney or whatever.
Right. It's somewhat of a buffer, but it's not a true buffer because the HR committee is just going to make a recommendation to you guys. You guys have the final say.
The same thing happens with the police civil service commission. It still has to come back to the council. If you want to get rid of somebody or fire somebody, the council still has to approve that firing.
No, the police civil service commission would do that. The only time that you guys do anything is you set the police department budget and you set the wage. But other than that, if you know, you don't have any other control over the department.
Yet we have approved hirings?
Correct. You're setting the wage.
Okay, gotcha.
So we're not approving the hiring, we're approving the wage.
Correct.
For the candidate.
Okay. Correct.
So if a candidate, if an officer is to be released and fired, then the Police Civil Service Commission is the ones that make that determination?
Correct.
Nothing else has to happen?
Correct. Correct.
So then what happens if that person that's fired comes back at the city? Then who's responsible?
The Police Civil Service Commission is an arm of the city, and they are subject to suit just like the Planning and Zoning or just like the EDA.
But if an issue is addressed, does it still come back to the council for action of some sort?
No. If the Police Civil Service Commission is sued, then the city would have to step in and defend that.
So does anything come back on the people that are on that commission then? Are they then responsible, or does the city has to pay the cost
if something happens? It really all depends on the specific situation. Majority of the times they would not have any individual liability. If they were to violate the open meeting law or something like that, you know, then there is the potential of some individual liability, just like it is with you guys as individual council members. If you violate the open meeting law, you put both yourself and the city at risk. If there's some sort of an unlawful termination litigation that is started, that would not bring any individual liability to the members. That would be more to the city as a whole.
So we approve the budget for them.
Right.
We somewhat approve coverage hours. No coverage hours, no...
No, you don't have any. You set the budget. The department runs itself subject to the supervision of the Civil Service Commission.
But we can attend the meetings if you want, so that, you know, one of the issues was not knowing what's going on. If we want to go to a meeting, we can.
Yeah, there are open meetings.
But you would have a... If two or three council members went there, then it would be a...
Open meeting? Potentially an open meeting. You would want to sit in different locations, and you wouldn't want to discuss it amongst yourselves. You know, we've discussed this every year. You guys are just, you're going to have to make a decision on it.
I just think it would be better to have all departments under the purview of the city itself, so that there is still more control based on anything.
Sure.
That, you know, I mean, issues can be handled, complaints can be handled without having to go through another party, and then everybody would be on the same page. The city would have the control over all the departments. Nothing against the people that are on the commission. They've served for a long time. I don't have any issues with that at all. It's just that I just think that everything should be under the auspices of the actual city itself instead of having it separate in there.
I think we're at the point then probably where we should vote on it.
Well, in order to disband, it needs a motion and a second. If it doesn't receive a motion, dies for lack of a motion. If it doesn't receive a second, it dies for lack of a second.
If we have three people on there.
One vacancy.
Potentially. We haven't even listed the vacancy yet.
Do we want to add someone to that? Do we want to add some of the city administration to that to possibly help them with their budget? Or is there anything that we can do other than those just three people? Do we want to do anything different? Or, I mean, we have an entire office here that could be at their disposal if we wanted to, or they wanted to have more resources, or is it normal, Dave, for that review board to have just three people on it? And
very normal to have three people.
I think the ones I named there, that's what they all have. But I think St. Paul and Minneapolis probably have more.
They're
probably
a charter city, so they operate a little differently than we do. We're a statutory city.
That brings up a point of who is responsible then for them developing their budget, doing all their legwork on all of those, their issues that they have. If they have this commission in place, is the commission the one that has to help them set up all their things? Whereas the city office does most of our budget writes up our budget, sets everything up. Who's responsible for that then? Is it the Police Civil Service Commission or the police department itself? Who does that?
You guys manage the money. You guys set the budget. They handle the personnel. They do the personnel decisions.
It's just like the fire department. You know, Chris comes to us with a budget.
But the Police Civil Service Commission doesn't develop a budget. I mean, you guys set
No, but I'm just
The chief, with probably Teresa's assistant, does the budget. You guys then set the budget. They handle only the personnel side of things. The Police Civil Service Commission only does personnel.
So then the HR department is under
the
city administrator, or they're on their own?
The HR department simply is with Teresa and on the general employees side of things. The HR department has nothing to do with the Police Civil Service Commission.
Sure.
The HR department deals with administration, with public works, your general employees.
So what does the Police Civil Service Commission do with then?
They do hiring and firing of law enforcement.
They also do investigation if there's a complaint. We had one a couple of years ago that there was a complaint against an officer, and it was investigated by the commission. And the commission, through their investigation, found that the officer was not at fault for what the claim was against them.
How they typically would handle those is they screen them in or they screen them out, depending on the initial petition. If it looks like there is any validity to an allegation, then it would more than likely be screened out to an investigating firm, just like you guys would do that with a public works employee or any other employee. But a lot of times a complaint against an officer can be dealt with just on the face of the complaint. But that's what the Police Civil Service Commission does.
Yeah. I still don't see how and those other things can't be handled by what the departments we have in place, just to see that everything is under the same purview.
So all scheduling, all of their vacation planner, all of their work hours, everything is done through the chief, and that's
correct
under whoever.
Chief runs, essentially manages the department.
Sure.
Now, if there are questions regarding schedules and internal workings, I mean, you guys can certainly make suggestions.
Yeah.
And you have in the past. But it's not like you have any enforcement over that. So if you want to see beefed up patrols or something, all you have to do is verbalize that. And then if it isn't getting done, you know, then you would verbalize that to the commission.
And then, as always, if there are problems, you can always bring it back to council, right? And vote on it again?
Correct. Correct. I mean, we've addressed
which
this
we
every
do
year.
Every year, yeah.
If there's problems with what that you can bring back to the council?
The department.
I thought we didn't have any say over it.
Well, you don't have a whole lot of say over it. You can go back to the commission, but that's really as far as it goes then.
The commission still controls it all?
It controls any discipline, yes.
I'd still like to make a motion to disband the Police Civil Service Commission.
So if there's no second, it dies unless
somebody would make a motion that sufficient time has passed and it has not received a second. So we'll end discussion on it.
Do we need a motion to do that?
Do.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we end discussion on it.
I'll second it.
Now you have to vote on that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Yay.
Police Civil Service Commission will not be disbanded 4-1 vote.
So it needs 25% of the voting. How many vote? How many people on a petition would that take, Teresa? Do you know?
We'd have to check with the
county. Eligible voters.
Yes, it's eligible voters that voted at the last election, probably.
Is it like 600? Okay. I'm just thinking something like that.
Wants to get it put on a ballot.
We would need to check with the county, see how many that is. I don't think we even want to guess at that.
Probably not.
I'll make a motion that we post the vacancy on the Police Civil Service Commission for application.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Nay.
Motion carries. We, what are we doing with the application we have now? Are we going to
just hang on to it until the posting is over with and that person can be added to whoever else fills out an application for it?
That's exactly what you would do.
Okay.
Post it, throw it in with the mix
because
on any other applicants.
Then we need to review it to make sure as to what their background and everything is.
Right.
That they don't have a criminal background.
There is one thing that we do is we approve the members, right?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. All right. Number six.
Okay, we'll open it up to citizen time. Would anybody like to address the council? Sure. Come to the podium, give your name and address.
Curtis Couch, 126th Street South. I am here today to address the recent request for the destruction of my home under the nuisance policy as communicated in a letter received in November from the city attorney dated October 16th. As the council already knows, my home was damaged in a fire during the summer of 2021. I submitted a data request to the city regarding any notices or letters sent to my home in the recent months, and this letter was never included or mentioned with the date request being satisfied at the end of the month. I'm currently in the midst of a lawsuit against State Farm regarding my claim and proving my innocence. This ongoing legal action underscores the critical need to retain the property as evidence crucial for sustaining and pursuing justice. I wish to emphasize, for the time that I've owned the home, there's been substantial investments and improvements made to the property since my purchase in 2017. I have diligently worked to enhance the residence, including substantial improvements to the landscaping, the right-of-way that was damaged from cars parking, tree maintenance, and significant improvements and enhancements to the exterior, which greatly improved curb appeal. These efforts were aimed at not only improving the property aesthetically, but also investing in its long-term sustainability. A lot of time was spent restoring the home. I would like to highlight that despite the adversities I've faced, the lawn has been maintained throughout, demonstrating my commitment to upholding the property despite its current condition. Additionally, every mortgage payment has been made on time and is current, and all taxes have been paid in full and are up to date. Regarding the alleged arson, contrary to the initial allegations suggesting the presence of accelerants, the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension lab results unequivocally revealed no trace of accelerants at the scene. This critical revelation, which contradicts the earlier assertions, is pivotal in establishing innocence I've maintained from the onset of this ordeal. I reviewed and noted several observations during my review of past city council meetings and the handling of my property. Notably, there have been no mention of my property in previous meetings calling for its destruction by any concerned parties. I've heard the council and the city attorney reference it a few times, but never calling for its destruction. It has become apparent that my property is not being handled in the same manner as other nuisance properties cited at past meetings. There have been no notices, letters, or requests made by the city to repair any of the damage from the fire or from the mitigation of the fire. It is to note that there is no exterior damage to the property from the fire, only from mitigation efforts by the fire department, which would be normal. I am deeply troubled at the thought of losing my home when it can be rehabilitated, especially after how much work was put into it. I kindly request reconsideration of the decision to have my home destroyed by January 1st, as the letter outlined, and seek alternative resolutions that uphold the integrity of the legal proceedings while preserving essential evidence. I'm willing to cooperate with the council with exploring viable options that ensure the pursuit of justice without compromising any evidence or preventing the restoration of the property.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the council? All right, doesn't sound like it. Close our citizen time.
Yep. We don't need a motion.
Don't need a motion.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to new business.
Good old boy.
Do you have anything to tell us about the conditional use permit other than what was in our packet? Or
So the conditional use has been recommended by the City Planning and Zoning Commission. The property is slated to have two fourplexes constructed on the property. It is in the downtown business district, so there are no minimum lot size requirements. So basically, they could split the property and have one on each, but they wanted to have them together on one parcel. Therefore, that's why they're doing the conditional use.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve that resolution 2023 R-042.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Can I talk about that?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So,
please,
we would
add your name and address.
Oh, yeah, if Ted Needus, address 20401 300 Street, New Prague.
Okay, thank you.
I am partial owner of the property that you guys approved. So we would like to start digging as soon as the frost comes out in the spring. But we have that sewer issue with the neighbor that agreed to have that out, so we just want to make sure that that is out of our way when we go to dig in the spring. We don't want to have any, you know, pushback that all of a sudden we're supposed to start now because we have all of our contractors lined up and ready to go because we want this thing to move smoothly, and then all of a sudden we can't because there's a sewer line in our way. And then, you know how that goes, it backs everybody up, and then now we're trying to scramble to get guys to come and help us do the work that needs to be done, and then that messes up their schedule. So yeah, whatever it takes to make sure that that happens yet before spring.
What sewer line is this? Is it a service line or is it a main?
It is another adjoining property's sewer line is running underneath our property.
Is it a service?
It's a service line that services an adjoining property, yes. And during the discussions of acquisition and the cleanup of the alley and all of that discussion, the property owner agreed to abandon that service line. That has not been done yet.
If he doesn't move it, what we'll do is we'll just have it capped.
Okay.
Just
so that
we
don't go digging through and then cause them a mess.
No. I think we've done everything we can to let this person know that it's an issue and it has to be dealt with, and if it isn't dealt with, then we'll deal with it.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I just want to make sure.
What do we have for a deadline on that, of them taking care
whenever
of it?
Whenever these guys want to start, you know, we give them as much time as we possibly can. I know I've sent out several letters and there's been no response, so as far as I'm concerned, you know, the sufficient notice has been given.
Is that their only access to?
I don't know. We would need to.
They can tap in on Paquin, but Paquin, they didn't want to disturb that, of course, because it's more cost. When you have to replace the blacktop and so on. And I believe, Jason, didn't they originally have a deadline in June?
Yeah,
I think they did.
And they didn't meet that deadline.
June
of this year, and they did not meet that deadline.
So as far as I'm concerned, the way it sits now, we'll continue to give them notice, but if it isn't moved or dealt with, then we'll cap it.
I'm going to say, it sounds to me like when you get ready to dig, you give notice to the city.
Well,
when you're going to start,
before you actually dig, give us as much notice as you can.
Right. And that, depending on weather, obviously, if it's is it April, is it March? Yeah. Like we don't know.
Right.
But
right.
As soon as we can, we want to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So for us to, do we need to send out more notifications or?
I can send out a couple more letters.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I was going to say they're not responding to letters. Do we need to call or don't we do that?
Well, and I've even done that.
You've done that too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you're not planning to start before March 1st. I mean, weather-wise, you might.
Yeah, if the frost is out of the ground, we're going to roll.
Okay. So. All right.
Because, yeah, we'll be doing the digging.
Yeah.
So.
As long as we have notice ahead of time so we can be prepared for you to go in and start digging.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Does that require some sort of council action to?
Okay.
Good?
Yep.
You're good.
Right. Good.
Thank you guys. Have a
thank you.
Night.
You bet.
Say
you
too.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping.
Yep.
Teresa, the letter B.
This legislative session was a busy one for the Minnesota legislature. One law that they passed was, I'm going to call it ESST. It's Earned Safe and Sick Time. Essentially, what the Earn Safe and Sick Time Law is it mandates that all employers in the state provide some level of sick time for employees, specifically aimed towards part-time and seasonal employees, in order for them to earn that ESST time, they have to have worked at least 80 hours in a year. And then once they have accumulated that 80 hours, then essentially the employer has to provide 1 hour of ESST time off for every 30 hours that is worked. And so what we have done, what Teresa and I have done, is we have drafted this ESST policy so that it meets state law. There's a lot of different interpretation on what the law is and how it's supposed to be implemented, and so you're seeing many cities do different things. But what we have done here is we have essentially followed all of the parameters of the law. All of this language in our policy comes right out of the Minnesota state statute. It's important to remember that this ESST time is use it or lose it time. Although it can be carried over from 1 year to another, and the max that can be accumulated is 80 hours, upon any separation, it is not paid out. So it truly is earn it or use it or lose it type of benefit. What Teresa and I have done is we've reached out to Law Enforcement Labor Services, the union for the police department, and we've also reached out to Ask Me, who is the union for the general employees. We have collective bargaining agreements with those two unions. Those union contracts should, they don't have to be, but they should be amended to reflect our new policy to comply with the ESST law. One union has pretty much given the green light already on it. That was the law enforcement union. They pretty much approved it. Ask Me is going to be meeting with their members, as I understand it, and we'll know their position on it in the next week or so. Frankly, if the unions come back and they want to try to nitpick it apart or have some objections to it, our fallback position is always we're going to follow state law. In a perfect world, we would get those collective bargaining agreements revised, but I don't think it's absolutely essential. The revisions that Teresa and I have proposed to them, again, are just going to mirror state law, and it's going to mirror our general policy. Does anyone have any questions over it or on it?
No, there's still going to be a battle starting the next session.
There's going to be a huge battle. Some of this may change next year. We'll get some new interpretations, I suppose, from the Department of Labor and Industry as to who this ESST law applies and who it doesn't apply to. But the general rule right now is that it applies to any employee, regardless right. of whether they're part-time or seasonal. Yep. As long as they work 80 hours in a year, yeah. they get the ESST.
Yep. I was at a conference on it, so I know it's going to come up in the legislature.
Yeah, but the good thing about it is, you know, although you can accumulate 80 hours and carry 80 hours over, it is not something that is paid out upon separation.
Right.
So it's time that is to be used for sick time.
I thought the accumulation was like 40 hours a year.
You can accumulate 48 hours in the first year, and then thereafter you can accumulate up to 80. So it caps at 80. Yeah. First year it caps at 48. Why they did this, I have no idea. But first year you can only accumulate 48. Second year you can accumulate up to 80. Third year capped at 80. Fourth year you can't get any more than 80.
Our full-time employees are already.
They're already covered.
It, right?
Yes, they
They're
get.
Already, it's already covered.
Correct. They get 8 hours a month, 96 hours a year.
Yeah.
We don't have to give them extra.
No, and that's a good point. This is not extra time. This is not to be pyramided or compounded on top of what they already have. So essentially who this is going to capture is going to capture part-time.
Part-timers, yeah.
Well, in the agreements, too, though, we did take into account the existing personnel policy and
the two unions that are there and tried to blend what is already provided with the new law so that we can demonstrate that we've met the new law instead of just saying, okay, in your 8 hours a month, you know, this much is is earned safe and sick. So it just spells it all a little better for the unions for them to be able to figure that out and making sure that the employees are not going to be losing benefit they already have. So
at this time, though, we're not opening contracts to change the contract. We're just adding memorandum of understanding.
Correct. We're not reopening the contract.
Yep. Do you need a motion on this?
The LELS contract runs until June 30th of 2025, and AFSCME runs until December 31 of 2024. So these memos of understanding will just supplant what we already have.
Yep.
And again, if the union comes back and they say, you know, we're not too keen on some of this language, we don't agree to that, you know, what we'll probably be telling the union is that that's fine, then we just won't do an MOU and we'll follow state law.
Good position. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it would, in a perfect world, we would get a memorandum of understanding.
Yeah.
Signed. Really, we don't, it's not essential, though.
Yeah. The only one that fights it is AFSCME. Everybody else seems to be okay with it.
Well, LELS has already pretty much given the green light.
Yeah.
LELS has the opinion that we already meet standard. So it's just a matter of basically cleaning up the bookkeeping portion of it so everybody understands what pool of money you're using for what situation.
Do we need to approve these separately or can they vote?
Let's do it separately.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve the Memorandum of Understanding for Earned Safety and Sick Leave.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
So we'll keep you updated as to what the union says.
Okay, I do need a motion to approve the policy, though. So there's an actual policy, and then there's the memorandums of understanding.
I'll make a motion that we approve the policy, letter B, safe and sick leave policy.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Then do we need a motion for the LELS longevity correction too, or is that part of the memorandum?
No, you do need that.
Okay.
It should be on its own.
So then I'll
something
make...
Something we need to discuss it
on? Oh, we have to discuss it. Okay.
Is there... Do we have any questions or does somebody want to...
No, I can tell you that. So just in the midst after we did negotiations and the contract, we forgot to strike out a line, and the union noticed that we had not stricken out that line and brought it back and said, let's just clean this up.
Okay.
So it was something that was already agreed upon during negotiations.
Yep. Gotcha. Okay. Just something that was missed.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll make a motion then that we approve LELS longevity correction.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. D, request for police department wage study.
So the police department had requested in their report that the council do action on the wage study. So there's two different types of the wage study. One is a full-blown where they go through everything in all the departments. And that, based off of Janesville's cost, would be about $12,000. What I had already done about 2 months ago was reached out to the Minnesota Valley COG and asked them to do a comparison of police department wages. They were currently also working for one for another entity, so they were just going to pair those together. I have not been furnished that report yet, however.
Okay. Did they have a timeline on that at all?
Okay.
No. And I don't know if the other entity has received any information yet either. So,
this wage study isn't necessarily a full-blown wage study. Mm-hmm. It's more of a comparable
study. It's a comparison. Study. Yep. Okay. So they were reaching out to the other communities in the area, finding out what their officers pay so that you can see what your market is doing compared to the other markets. Full-blown wage study would incorporate all of your departments along with all of the impacts that that difference in pay may or may not cause.
I think what we really need to see to start with is the comparables.
Yeah.
And then we'll make a decision on the full-blown wage study if that needs to be done or not.
The COG does a thorough job on it, so
it's done. Didn't we just come out with some sort of a salary study, too? Maybe it didn't include police. I don't know if it did or if it didn't. Yeah.
No, so I participated in that this year also.
Okay.
So we have that information available, too.
All right.
Yeah. The center also requested from the COG the same as what we would like.
So we've got a lot of data out there that you guys can pull from that you don't necessarily have to pay for.
Right.
So this study will be, you think this will be just be sufficient when they come back with the results of this study that you're included in now?
I think it'll give the council an idea of what the market is and where those communities that may be pulling your officers away based off a wage.
Yeah.
And then you could make a decision as to further as to what you're thinking about, increases, no increases, and then you would also want to couple that with your pay equity to make sure that, you know, if you are looking at doing increases, then, you know, you would want to make sure that you're running that pay equity report too, because it could affect other job classes also.
Yeah. I know the area that we really have to look at is the part-timers, because part-timers fill in, obviously, wherever we need them, but I think they're getting $16 an hour. Can do that at McDonald's.
Yeah, that was approved to be, I think it was at the last meeting, and the pay request was to have them placed on the very first 0 to 6 month step of the union contract.
Okay.
So starting January 1.
Good.
So that will go into effect on January 1.
Do we need a motion for this?
No.
No.
You don't, if we're just going to continue as is, and when the information is available, we'll just bring that forward.
So that would be my recommendation. Okay. Just let them continue on.
Then can we move on to the next two on there?
I believe so. We move on to the comp time and vacation time.
This is just because we're shorthanded at the police department, the request to suspend. Not totally sure what that means for us.
Jump in a little. Okay. So currently, your police department has a cap on the number of hours that they can accrue for vacation, and then also for comp time. So, and comp time is just, you know, the bank of overtime that sits there. That's required to be paid out. Both of them are required to be paid out at some point. But the comp time is a little more unique at the time of this request, because all of the union contracts will be paid out to zero at your January meeting. As of December 31, they get paid out. The only individual that's allowed to carry over from 1 year to the next is Officer Manning. And right now he's not at the point of losing that accrual. So it's not really something that on the comp time portion that you would necessarily need to address right at this moment. However, if you do choose to do it, then you would want to put in a time limit for that, and I would probably exclude the other officers other than the chief, because they will get paid out. If you extend that, depending on your language, that means that we don't pay them out then like we normally do.
How long would you anticipate, providing there's no extended time off or anything for the chief, how long would you anticipate it to take him to top out to where we would have to address this?
It would all depend on how many hours he books.
Okay. Are we talking, do you think, 6 months, a year?
No, a couple months probably.
So you need a motion on this?
If you do this, You said the only one that's affected is chief?
The chief is the one that has the rollovers. The other ones are paid out. And then as far as vacation time, they can already accrue 1.5 or 2 times, depending on which contract language, 1.5 or 2 times their accrual rate. And at that point, they wouldn't get any more accrual, but we could come back and address that to the council if they wish to book that back in, or you can just simply say they can go to 2.5 times their accrual for, you know, the next 5 months or whatever time limit you prefer.
I don't see.
But the only one that would get penalized would be Chief Manning because he's at the top of his accrual almost already?
Not necessarily. I didn't look at, so you have one brand new officer,
yeah.
And he's not going to be anywhere near his accrual limit. And you have another officer that's been on staff full-time for about a year or so. And so depending on what they've used, they may be affected down the road a little bit further. But I wouldn't recommend that you do anything with the your regular officers for comp time. Just let them roll over and get paid out for that benefit. On the other hand, if the chief or any officer should request vacation time and you deny it because there's not coverage, you're automatically paying that out.
Under their contract, they can't just say, I'd like to be paid out for 40 hours of vacation time. The city doesn't do that?
No. No.
I know some places will do that, but we do not.
Correct.
Okay.
The only situation that would be is if we denied their vacation request.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see the labor shortage correcting itself in a couple of months. So I could see at least a short-term suspension for the chief on this. I would say maybe we readdress this in 6 months, or do we readdress it in a year? Opinions?
How long? I can't hear you.
Six months. 6 months to a year.
Or a year, readdress it?
No. You said short-term, right?
Well, I don't think we're going to, he's going to bump into his limit, providing he doesn't take any big amounts of time.
January, wasn't it? Wasn't it January that he thought this would be an issue? So would we do the first quarter?
You can always revisit it. So
I guess what I'm looking at is he's going to be looking at it realistically, if we're trying to find officers now, we're struggling to find officers now, he's going to be up against his limit before we get one hired and on board. And by the time we get one trained and things settle down back into a regular rhythm where people can really start taking time off in larger chunks like they would want to, I think it's going to be about next spring or summer. That's just my thought. If you guys think a shorter term is appropriate, I'm open to that too.
Teresa, what if we approve January and then at the January meeting approve February and so on? Would we do that, or would we do it by the quarter? Or
you can. I think that would be a little time consuming and probably not as effective. I'll just put it that way. You know, I think if you did a 3 month or 6 month time span and just allow them to accrue and not lose their vacation time, you know, up till that point.
Because they're just not able to take it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should give them 6 months to take
it. Why don't we examine it at the June meeting, would be my suggestion.
So then I will make a motion to suspend the compensatory time and vacation time maximum accumulation limits for Chief Manning, not the other officers, until the June meeting, at which time we'll readdress.
Would you want to include vacation time for full-time officers until that point, too, then?
Yes.
Yes. In your motion?
Yes.
I'll amend it to read that way. Thank you.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have a department expense request. Is this fire department?
We'll get to it again, sorry. So what you have is a police department request for a steel dorm labor for installation of that, and then you have a request for water and sewer to add running boards onto the new vehicle.
Wasn't that door on last month's request?
I think it was just an information.
Like it was in his report.
Yeah, I think it was just information.
It was in the report.
But I don't think you guys took any action on it.
No.
Nope.
I would have to go back and look at that. I don't recall if I had it included in the expense report.
So I thought it was, but...
Well,
it was a service door, not a garage door, right?
Right.
Yeah. If it was, obviously don't approve two of them.
It's the same one.
Yeah. Yeah. And the water sewer was what for that?
For the running boards for the new vehicle.
Oh, okay.
I'll make a motion that we approve those expense requests.
I'll second them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we could move on to reports. Jason Femright is not here, so that one will be, I don't know, did he submit anything in writing or anything?
He did not. He said he had nothing to report to bring forward, so.
Yeah, quiet time for him.
Winter does that to you.
Jason, do you have anything for us?
Not a whole lot. This month, we were primarily focused on getting this ESST legislation sorted out and into a policy. So I'm glad you guys passed that here tonight and took care of that. Hopefully, we can wrap that up with the union. Other than that, go. Got nothing additional for you.
Okay.
Thank you. Council discussion. A wide range of topics on this one today.
There was.
I don't have anything.
So, can I be noticed whenever a Police Civil Service Commission meeting is being held, please, Teresa?
Yeah, I mean...
They have to post it on the window out here.
Well, I'd still like to notice.
She can be put on a list to receive notification.
And that is one thing I would like to see, too. We need to have regular posted meetings, so...
And likewise, if a meeting is canceled or is moved or... You know, that needs to be followed up as well.
I know that.
I mean, anybody can be put on a list and receive notification of a meeting.
Oh, is that in the paper? Usually?
No. It's always posted on the front windows of the...
It's posted at the front door.
We have to keep checking the front door?
Well, you don't have to. You can be put on a list.
You can
put
on a list.
Yeah. You just need to contact Teresa tomorrow.
So I don't usually do their agenda, so I'll send that on to the secretary.
Yeah. Now, if you ask to be put on a list and you're not getting notification, I want you to let me know.
Yeah. And also, I was just going to say, I want to make sure that there's regularly scheduled meetings. That would be my caveat.
I see your sidewalks had some work done on it down here that with the handicap ramp by Lions Park. Anybody have anything else?
I make a motion, we adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.